Let me test the mic. Talking right here. Jerry, do you want to stick
Hello,
your face?
Hello, I'm talking to it right now.
Get a little closer.
Hello, I'm talking.
That's a little much, but okay. Okay. All
right. So if you hear how good we sound right now, don't be disappointed when we don't sound like this in a few minutes.
Yeah. So Charity is a cotton-headed ninny muggins.
No, she's not that.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Well, you just do so much. It's easy to forget that sometimes things need to be plugged up correctly.
Forget one little thing that makes a big difference. We thought we were recording on our new microphone, and turns out we weren't. But you guys can still at least hear what we say. I personally apologize for the lower sound quality.
That's Charity apologizing.
Oh, I Jerry, apologize.
Oh, they know. Didn't do it because I didn't do none of that technology stuff.
But now you can look forward to when we start season two, us having this beautiful sound quality on this new mic. It's going to be exciting.
So, sorry, we know it'll sound a little different, but you still should be able to hear everything. Our wonderful words of words.
Wisdom. Words.
Oh, wisdom. If you want to call it wisdom, that's fine, but mainly just words of words. So, but we hope you still enjoy it. We hope you still get some encouragement, and yeah.
Talk to you later.
Bless you.
Usually I start recording, you girls don't know it, but this time you just saw me hit record.
We did. Reunited and it feels so good. Yeah.
Hit it.
Shh.
Well, bless.
So, I'm Jerry.
I'm Meredith.
I'm Charity.
And we're back recording.
Yay!
Yay!
And you Meredith, didn't even know. You see, you haven't missed us.
Yeah. But we missed Meredith, though.
Oh, Meredith's officially moved.
I have moved.
But it's not the end of the podcast or our friendship.
Praise Jesus for that.
But also, it's not the end of the podcast. So true. So we still bless you.
That's right. We hope we bless you.
Prayer. Oh, I'm going to pray. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
We haven't done this in so long. You forgot.
Oh, I was about to be like, well, when does the theme song come on? But that's added.
We could do it organically. What do you say?
This is our theme song.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not.
Let's not do it.
Okay. God, thank you so much for bringing us back here together to laugh and to probably cry, because we like to do that too. But just to be honest, in your love and in your plan for us, that we can have a conversation about where our life is going and where you've taken us so far and just where we are right now. Please bless this conversation and guide it to the direction you want us to go. In your precious and holy son's name. Amen.
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 So the question that we are going to pose today, and we're asking ourselves this, do we believe that singleness is a choice? Or is it something that God orchestrates in our lives?
Who wants to go first?
That's a good question.
I
like that we thought of it.
I know.
I wish I'd come up with an answer first. I don't know. I guess in my life, I kind of want to believe that it's orchestrated by God. Because I don't feel like I would choose to be single. I think at this point, especially at 34, I would, you know, want to be married with kids. Not that I've had the most opportunities pop up in my life, which also leads me to think that it was something from God, because I don't feel like, it's not that I don't live in the world and it's not that I'm not around other people. It's just something that hasn't been brought into my life at this point. And so I just kind of think it's been God. And I think for me too, I know that I can get too attached to people. So I think it's probably of God to protect me from myself, that he goes, I know how you are and I know how loyal and committed you'll be. And I kind of don't want that until it's the person you're supposed to be with. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I do believe that. I hope I'm not trying to justify it in my life of like, well, because I'm by myself, that it's because of God and that's the only thing. Like, I legitimately feel that is part of it. And I think that's part of the reason why sometimes I'm more okay with being single. I mean, sometimes obviously it's hard, but I think that's also another element of allowing me to be okay with being single, because I feel it is God and that God is in control of that. And he's in control of the future, whether or not I am with someone.
Absolutely. No, that makes a lot of sense, Jerry.
Yeah, because I think that we all believe that God's sovereignty is over our lives. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of one of those things to where, I mean, God does give us choices. I mean, we have choices. But, you know, if I believe that God's overarching hand and sovereignty is over my life, then that means that I believe that he's in control over whether I'm single or married at this point. Yeah. But I will say for myself personally, I mean, as I've kind of thought back on my life, I think there are definitely opportunities that I chose not to take, and not because it was something that I deemed as bad. It was really more just a fear, just insecurity within myself. I think a lot of that was just being really young and having struggles at home, especially through high school, that just really kept me isolated and kind of afraid of letting someone in and kind of the rest of the, you know. But it's just the idea of that I can look back and see opportunities where I missed to either be in a dating relationship. And sometimes I beat myself up about that because I'm like, you know, I mean, what if that was supposed to be something and I missed it? But I am really someone who believes that, like we said, I mean, in God's sovereignty, can I really miss it? If I'm supposed to be married, has God not ordained that before the foundations of the earth that that's what's supposed to happen in my life?
Isn't he bigger than you in those moments in your youth, feeling like you missed an opportunity? He's so much bigger than that.
And I think I think to ask if it's a choice versus if it's God's sovereignty in our life, I think because we choose to converse with God and to follow God, that it's a little bit of both. That we seek God and we seek his plan for our life, and so we make choices that reflect that.
Yes, exactly.
And so I think it is a little bit both. We choose because we know that at this point right now, that's what God's plan is for us. So
you just stole my answer. Oh, sorry.
You answered twice. So my answer was Jerry's answer.
For pretend
that's such that a means, good answer, guys. Thanks. So good, bravo.
But that's really what I was going to say. Like, I wouldn't necessarily say, oh, yes, I'm choosing to be single in my life. Yeah. But the fact that I have made the choice over and over and over again to honor God. Therefore, that very much influences, obviously, the decisions I make and who I allow into my life in those close aspects. So, it is a little bit of both. Yes, it is. It's not necessarily me saying, oh, yes, I'm choosing to be single, but I'm choosing to honor God. And he, like Meredith said, hasn't brought that into my life yet. And like we've mentioned before on this podcast, that means that me being single today is good because God is good. And therefore, that is his plan and his will for my life. Yeah. And that's, again, we've said this before. It's not an easy thing to just say, okay, I'm good. I'm fine because God says it's good. That doesn't necessarily happen. You still have all the feelings that you have as a human being and as a single woman. But there is, just like you girls said, there is a peace and a comfort and an empowerment that comes with knowing that you are honoring God and seeking him in this and allowing and waiting for him to bring someone into your life should he have that.
Yeah. Well, and you've spoken too about how you, along with the idea of choosing versus God's sovereignty, that he has kind of made the choice for you sometimes where there's with men that you've been interested in, and for whatever reason, that opportunity has kind of gone away.
Yeah.
And that necessarily wouldn't have been your choice, but looking back, you see that it was God, and he was in control of that, either relationship or not relationship, and how that went forward.
There's one, I don't even know if I don't think I've shared this on the podcast before. If I have, I'm sorry, guys. I'll edit it out. But there was one guy that I was dating. And after we broke up, well, he broke up with me, so that's even more fun. But, you know, I hadn't dated really up until that point. And I think I always was just assuming, okay, the first guy I date is going to be the guy I marry, right? Because that's how things work out in life.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
That's how it goes. But I was in my room here just crying before God and the hurt that comes from breaking up with somebody and not being able to be close with someone you were once close with. And in that prayer, I just said, Lord, I would have married him. And God spoke and he said, that's why I had him break up with you, because you would have. And I stopped in my tracks. I was like, okay, that is God's sovereignty stopping me from making what would have been a bad decision. That's not saying this guy's a bad guy, but he would have not been right for me.
Right.
and what, like we said before, what God's calling me to do and who God's calling me to be. So yeah, that was quite humbling in that moment, but also pretty awesome at the same time that God would step in and help me make these, make some of these decisions for myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes that in phrase, all right, him making some of the decisions for me. And then there's other times where he's trusted me to make that decision myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, God's sovereignty.
Well, and I kind of had a similar experience, not after I was dumped by somebody, but I had a similar experience in that, and I can't remember what I was praying about, but I was, you know, struggling and feeling alone, and I don't think it fully encompassed, like, just the singleness. There was a lot more to it, but I remember God saying into my heart, I have guarded you with my life, and it was a moment to where God reminded me, so all these things that you see as either failures or missed opportunities, as I said, or, you know, your heart's broken because this didn't turn out the way that you had hoped, it's all because I'm guarding you, you know? And I mean, Christ suffered and died a cruel death so that he could take on the death that comes to our hearts when it's broken. And so he takes that and he binds up those wounds. And we are, even though it may hurt for a little while, like that's what I think is so good about God, is he knows that it's going to hurt us. And he's going to be there with us in the hurt. Yeah. But he knows, better you hurt for this momentary time than to suffer long term because of a decision that you shouldn't have made. And it's like you were talking about, Jerry, well, you were both talking about the fact that because we seek God constantly and because that's where our heart is truly we want to do God's will. In those times when we can't make the decision, that's when he does step in and says, no, this is not my best for you.
And I also think, and I've been, this is more in the realm of, I've switched jobs this summer. And in the process of interviewing and making sure you say the right thing and you do the right thing, my mantra in my mind has always been, there is nothing that I'm going to do that's going to, you know, supersede, is that the right word? That's going to take, that's going to take the place of God's plan. If his plan is for me, then it doesn't matter if I completely botch this interview. If it's his plan, it's going to happen. And I kind of feel the same way with relationships. And I don't know if that's a naive thought of, yes, we can look at it as missed opportunities, but I also kind of believe if it was God's will for my life, then whatever I did or whatever I chose, he would have somehow stepped in and corrected that if that was legitimately what he wanted for me. And not to say that the guys that I've been interested in wouldn't be great mates, but they clearly weren't the ones that God had wanted for me, you know? And it's hard to go, God, I really do like this guy. He seems to be all the tick marks that I think are non-negotiable. So you've brought it into my life. Why don't you, you know, let him reciprocate and want to be and love me too?
That would be
lovely. And not to say that the guys that I've been interested in were bad guys. Looking back, they're not. But I can also see how they weren't the right guys for me. You know, I mean, it would still have been nice for my ego, but. But ultimately, for my life and for my heart, too, it wasn't what needed to happen. So
I had somebody once describe what you were talking about as like a Garmin or a GPS. I always call them Garmin. Then I realized somebody had no idea what I was talking about. But like a GPS system.
I think a Garmin is probably the
brand of what I have and I've been using for years. But it's like you can make the choice to veer off course, but then God comes in and says, recalculating.
But you may go through some neighborhoods and see some things you wouldn't have seen before.
Or maybe things you shouldn't have seen. But
because if you stay on the path he's telling you to go, it's going to be easier. But we as human beings are going to veer off and go our own way. But God is sovereign. And as long as we are seeking him and being obedient when we see him redirecting us, he's going to get us back on course. You know?
And I also think that the difference in what the world offers, like I was thinking about the fact that, because as we're talking about how God guides our lives, it could be misconstrued as that some kind of fate. But that's not what we're believing in. We're not believing in just this randomness of the universe. You know, my thing about being single, and if God allows me to be married at some point, is that somehow that builds into the bigger narrative of God's story. and what he's doing in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about, oh, this just happened to, like, I just happened to meet this really great guy and we just happened to fall in love. We just happened to get married.
Yeah.
I mean, I truly think that our trusting and believing in God, that his guiding hand is on our lives. So that's, and that's a powerful, powerful force.
Yeah.
Because so many more people are going to be affected when I'm doing God's will. And that's whether I'm single or I have a partner or I'm married.
And this might be a good time to bring up dating apps or online dating.
Well, you're talking about making us making decisions and choices. I mean, how much do we need to present ourselves?
That's not what I mean. But it's kind of what it is. You are presenting yourself. Exactly.
Remember, Philip told us not to present ourselves.
Oh, then maybe the answer is don't introduce ourselves.
How about that?
He's now our guru for all things men.
I know.
And if you're just tuning in this first episode, you definitely should go back and listen to all the episodes.
All of them are brilliant, full of good stuff.
Exactly.
Philip specifically.
But like I think about in my life, I don't have the opportunity to meet a whole lot of new men specifically, you know, like the people in my life are basically the ones that are in my life. Like
new men. I just got excited about
I'm glad you got excited.
Maybe that's why you should do dating apps on new men.
And that's true. Okay. Cause the question being, you know, is a dating app an opportunity to have the person introduced to you that God wants for you, or are you taking matters into your own hands? Right. Like what do you feel? Like, what do you think?
I don't know. My opinions are changing slight. No, that's not even correct. I've always felt like it wasn't for me. Cause I've had, obviously being single as long as I have, everyone's like, well, you got to try this. And I have a little bit, but years ago when I tried, I think it was like, whatever the big main one is, I don't even remember.
We won't say it.
I tried one of the online dating things. It was super expensive, and I felt so weird about it. And it hooked me up with someone I knew at one point, and I was like, oh, that's awkward. Because he texted me and was like, oh, I thought you were dating someone. You want to hang out? I was like, oh,
not with you, buddy.
I mean, I like you, but just as a friend, buddy boy, you know. But I also have so many people I know that have gone on there and have met amazing men and gotten married and have solid marriages and solid relationships. So I don't know. I've always been of the mindset of seek God on it. If you feel like it's not for you, that's fine. Cause maybe that means God, that would obviously mean if God has someone for you, he's going to bring them into your life in another way. If you feel like he's like saying, fine, go for it. Like, why not? It is a good way to meet new people that you probably wouldn't normally meet in today's day and time. We watch a lot of like period piece shows, and I read a lot of fiction books that are back in olden times, and these people would go walk somewhere for miles, and you'd stay at someone's house for like days and weeks, so you have plenty of time to get to know someone. But that's not how it is in today's
society. Also probably their cousin, so
It's not acceptable nowadays.
To go to your family reunion and try to meet a guy.
but I mean, I think that goes back to the, you know, like you said, seeking God. And if that's the way that God is wanting to bring you to that relationship, he'll let you know. Yeah. You know, because there are a lot of questions around dating apps sometimes. And, you know, obviously safety is a huge thing. And you do hear horror stories, but then you hear really the great stories, the love stories, the stories of what the dating apps were created for.
Exactly.
You know, and there's tons of them. And there's tons of Christians on dating apps. It's not just, you know, you're quote-unquote settling for a non-Christian. There are guys out there and girls out there looking for all the same things that we are. Mm-hmm. And that's just an avenue that God has now provided for us to find those people.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, bless you, not been the best opportunity for you.
So I joined a dating app. This is Charity speaking. After I had my last birthday this July, and I was just like, what have I got to lose? Like, my sister's been, My sister, I don't think she listens to podcasts, so so my sister has been pestering me to join this one specific app that she's been enjoying. But the thing about my sister is she always like tries to talk me into joining all these different websites and memberships because she gets extra points for doing so. And then next time I talk, she's like, oh yeah, I'm done with that. I'm off. And then I have all these like emails and memberships and I'm like, you stinker. So, and because for me, I haven't ever felt led to do that, I've been resisting her for a long time. Of course, she's out in California sending me pictures of all these very attractive men she's going out on these dates with and having fun with and getting to know. But after my last birthday, I just really was of the mindset, I was like, what have I got to lose at this point? Like, it doesn't matter anymore. So I did jump on one, not necessarily like expecting to meet the love of my life, but you never know at the same time. Yeah. You don't know. But I did create a little profile on one of these little apps and I've been trying it out. And I mean, the girls asked me if we could chronicle as we go along, which I am more than happy to do. But I have not had much excitement on there yet. I don't know what the terminology is. I think a lot of people in our town, our city, are not on this app because there's several days. It's supposed to, like, this app, like, sends me a selection of guys every day at noon. So I get to, at lunchtime, peruse the men. The so new men. The new men. But it doesn't, there's, I've had, like, 3 or 4 days this week where they didn't even send me any options. So it's, I really haven't.
But don't you think that's kind of almost representative of what we're saying? It's like you've made the choice to join this dating app and yet it's still not producing what you think it was supposed to.
Right.
And it's almost like God stepping in. And not to say that there won't be something that comes from this app,
right,
but maybe the guy that you're supposed to meet isn't even on there yet.
Right.
And so you're not supposed to engage yet. And so it's a way of you've made this choice, but God's still stepping in going, no, I'm gonna keep you protected because for right now, this isn't who you're supposed to meet. It doesn't mean you're not supposed to be on this app. It just means these guys aren't the ones for you.
I like that, Jerry. Way to go.
Really into knowing things.
Yeah, that was really deep and really good.
I didn't even know where that came from. The Lord. The Lord.
He gave it to you.
I was wondering what that light was streaming out in your head. So anxious.
Oh, no. Yeah, so, I mean, if you guys are interested, I'll keep you posted as we go along. There's not been any excitement yet, but, you know, maybe Tall, Dark, and Handsome Prince Charming is going to be on there.
I'll be on this app.
I did say that to Jerry a while ago. I said, maybe I'll meet Prince Charming. She goes, good, but if he calls himself Prince Charming, maybe don't talk to him. So that's valid.
That's his name.
Maybe pass on that one. And I feel like it's a pretty good standard.
Yeah. But we want to hear from you guys. Like, what have your experiences been with dating apps and what do you like? Maybe not a dating app, maybe some sort of organization that
there's some singles people.
What is that place in that, like, Nashville Meets or
Events and Adventures?
Which you lost me at Adventures.
Oh, I know.
That's where I got excited.
I want to go rock climbing.
Sitting and eating. That's the group I want to be in.
Yeah. You can do just lunch. There's a thing called just lunch.
There we go.
There you go.
Dang it. Someone already stole my idea. But there's all kinds of things out there.
Yeah.
And so, let us know what, you know, you've enjoyed. What maybe has brought questions to your mind about certain experiences? We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like we need to come back to the original question.
Okay. Okay. Bring us back, Meredith.
Which was, do we believe that it is a choice or if it's God's divine will? And, you know, I have friends who really have settled into singleness. Mm-hmm. And they're super content. And they love their lives. And they love it just the way it is, and God has given them that, as in he's, you know, taken away that desire to actually have a partner in life. But I've also known people that God's never taken away the desire, and they're still single.
Yeah, and that's hard.
Yeah, and so, you know, I just want to caution against that just because you have a desire for something, that doesn't automatically grant you that thing. That does not mean that is a solid promise to where, well, but the thing is God will take the desire away if I'm not supposed to have this. you know, well, I may desire a lot of things about myself, you know. It's kind of like when I order a new bathing suit and I want it to look like it did on the model in the thing. And I'm like, but yeah, I'm supposed to look like that model. And I don't.
But I will not counter, maybe. Yeah. This isn't my thought. This is actually my therapist's thought. Because I've talked to him several times about being single and having that desire in me. And he's addressed the fact that maybe I don't get married and maybe I won't get married. But if I'm still praying for that same sort of fulfillment in my life and some sort of relationship, that is still available to me. You know, it's not the companion that we think of as a husband. But there is some sort of quote unquote void that can be filled by praying for a relationship that fulfills that kind of need for, not a companion, an intimacy in the way of knowing someone really well, not in the
physical sense.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know how to say that, sorry. but knowing someone well and being close to them without depending on them, because clearly you don't need to be dependent, but there's still that availability of having that type of relationship with someone or with many people, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, because absolutely.
I think that's still available for us, even though what we think it should manifest itself into as a it'd be a husband. Mm-hmm. And that may not be the case.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Does that make sense? I kind of just felt like I was...
No, because I've certainly seen God place, or I've had certain desires in my heart to where they've been redirected, mm-hmm. you know, to where I'm super passionate about this thing, I'm pursuing it, I'm running after it. And then it's like God was like, oh, see, I brought you this way so that then mm-hmm. I can take you over here.
That's true.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I mean, I don't believe it's like Charity and I have talked about instances to where it has felt cruel at times mm-hmm. because God knows that that's a desire of
deep
our hearts.
Desire, yeah.
And I can't remember if I've shared this or not, but there was, I feel like I did. I feel like I'm repeating myself, but. You know, you don't care.
Yeah.
Or guess what? You don't have a choice.
Or you can skip forward.
Or you can just
for
5 seconds. This. But I was thinking about that. I was on a bus at an amusement park one time.
Oh.
And there was this sweet new, I mean, you could tell that they were newly married. They were so adorable. They had like one set of their parents with them or whatever. And they were sitting there and like the husband just had his hand on his wife's hand. And he was just kind of, you know, like stroking it with his thumb. And I could have bawled watching that. Like it just, and I feel like sometimes for me, it's those little sweet, tender moments that I see that couples have that will, that it will, it just has that groaning of, oh my gosh. Which, you know, I know that's not what all marriage is about. So, I mean, they probably got that best at horrible fight. Probably what happened.
But yeah, I mean that is hard to even though God can fulfill certain desires and maybe redirect them, there's still also the possibility that desire for specifically a husband will always be there.
Right.
You know, and it will always be just a little bit heartbreaking.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we've talked about, you know, Charity, as you shared in your testimony about the season when it almost felt unbearable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that, but how God used that is used it to press you deeper and deeper into relationship with Him.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that is what it's all about. And I think we're supposed to continue to pray for it. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that Nick Visichick guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he's an Australian evangelist type person, but he actually was born without any arms or legs. And one of the things that he said is he still wakes up every day and prays that God will give him arms and legs.
Mm.
He said, because I believe that he can.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's that still that childlike faith of God, you could do this for me at any moment. And to still keep, like, if it's a desire of your heart, still keep asking, still keep praying about it, you know, but just press into Jesus further and further, you know, as you keep praying.
Lord Jesus, please bring me Henry Cavill.
Yeah, you just keep pressing into that, Jerry.
Oh, man.
It could happen. It could happen. It could happen.
Mission possible.
Oh! There you go. nailed it.
Nice. Nice.
And now we'll segue into our sharing corner.
Thank you, Jerry, for that lovely introduction.
Welcome.
So, what I have to share today, my mother sent me this book. It's called Psalm 91, God's Umbrella of Protection. And what's funny is that it has the worst, cheesiest cover known to man. Like, it's a book that I would have walked by in the store and not even looked twice at because the cover's so bad. I sent a picture to my sister and we both just had a nice little laugh about it. But, and I still
check. But no offense to the writers.
No.
These great animators.
Yeah. Here's what I'm about to say. It's funny to me that I would not have looked twice at this book, but when I started going through what was on the inside of it, it has been rocking my world, and I am not even exaggerating on that.
That's probably why they say don't judge a book by its cover.
That's exactly why they say that, because I, every morning as I've gone through, like, she'll just talk about one section from Psalm 91, and I can't go through one little verse without crying my eyes out, and that's not usual for me with this stuff, but so I wanted to share all that just because don't judge a book by its cover. There could be some depth in something that you wouldn't think twice about. But what I wanted to share specifically in here, Psalm 91:5a, you will not be afraid of the terror by night. And it's funny that there's several things that she leads to until she gets to this, but she starts talking about food. And just as a little thing for you guys to know about me, I've had some pretty serious, but okay, it's not, I'm not dying, but I've had some health issues lately. But what I wanted to share with you guys about my health stuff is that food has been a huge issue to me, in that pretty much every food out there that I have to put in my body to sustain life causes an autoimmune reaction inside of my body. So we're working through all of that. But in this section where she was talking about verse 5, which I just read and now I can't get back to, that you'll not be afraid of the terror by night, she gets to the point where she starts talking about food. And I wanted to read you a little passage from it. She said, "I believe the word of God advocates using wisdom, but all the precautions in the world cannot protect us from every harmful thing that could be in our food and water. Therefore, God's instruction to bless our food and water before eating is not merely some ritual to make us look more spiritual. Rather, it is another provision for our safety, playing an important role in God's protective plan." And she lists a couple verses, one in 1 Timothy 4 and Exodus 23:5, and a couple of my highlighted portions from that. From 1 Timothy 4, she says, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected." And then in Exodus 23:25, she says, "But you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and he will remove sickness from your midst." And I sobbed through reading that just because, you know, with food being such a huge issue for me, I've gotten out of the habit of blessing my food before I eat it. And it's not because I think there's anything wrong with it. I still do it if I'm eating out with friends, but me on my own, I'm just like, yeah. It's a nice ritualistic thing we do, but that's not it at all. Like, I literally am getting into the habit now, before I pray, just asking God to bless the food, to let it give good nutrients to my body, to let it block any autoimmune reactions in my body. And it's just, it's rocking my world that God can touch my food that way and block it from causing so much harm to my body, which has been going on in my body for 12 years. So it just... this book's been rocking my world. This Psalm 91 has been rocking my world, guys. And it's just changing my outlook on everything. So, yeah, that has nothing to do with singleness, but it's something that God has really been opening my eyes on and just pouring himself into. So, yeah, that's what I had to share.
Amen and God bless.
Amen and God bless. You never mess things up.
I mess up all the time.
No, you do not.
Hey guys, we want you to be a part of the conversation. So like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram. Facebook is Blessed Singleness Podcast. Instagram is BS_podcast. And don't forget to, what is it? Give a
rate
review.
Rate
and review us. If you want to and feel so compelled, give us 5 stars.
We don't mind that.
Yeah. Do you rate people on the Google Play? Okay. Well, if you see a place to put stars, you can give us as many as you want.
There you go.
Amen and God bless.
Amen and God bless.